We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
In the mornings, we do lots of game management ideas. So having he and Mike and Raheem going through, you know, some of the game management situations we do, it's been a huge help for me. Having that kind of experience on offense, you can imagine the trust, you know, that I have in them. And so yeah, it's made a big difference.
It is one of the things that the Atlanta Falcons have this year that is either going to really work well or is going to be not something that works well at all. I just no kind of in between of it with all these former head coaches now on the staff of the Atlanta Falcons. And welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh. Starting to peek ahead to this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Falcons minicamp, and our first real good look, Hugh, at this team and what they can potentially be this year with all the question marks that revolve around them.
Yeah, John, but I know that, you know, you're talking about the fact that you got a whole bunch of ex-head coaches, but they all know where they fit in. You know, you get in where you fit in a situation like this. This is Coach Quinn's job. He's the head coach. The best thing that you can do to help this team be successful is, if you are called upon, is give advice what is asked for. And sometimes when it's probably not asked for. It all depends on the level of comfort that you have with head coach. You see Raheem Moore, he's been here for a while. I think that there's been times where Coach Quinn might have asked him for some advice when he wanted it. But I think that it's the most important thing is you got to know your place. You don't want to overstep your bounds, because it seems like with Coach Quinn especially, you get to be one of those cats that overstep your bounds a little bit. You probably won't be here that long.
Well, it says a lot about Dan Quinn that in an age where every team is trying to find that new hot Sean McVay, you know, the 32-year-old kind of coach of the day, the Zach Taylor or whatnot, that Dan Quinn hires essentially a staff not only full of former head coaches and Cutter Malarkey, and of course he did have Raheem Morris, but he could well have hired his replacement. And you know, a lot of guys would never hire somebody that could actually be on the staff that could replace them.
I mean, and that's always, you know, you talk about Dirk Cotter and how he did Lovie Smith. I mean, and when I say how he did Lovie Smith, I'm not accusing him of stabbing him back or anything, but it's, you know, I mean, it is what it is. He took over after Lovie Smith left because of his relationship with Jameis Winston. It is what it is. But I think that, and the one thing I respect about Coach Quinn is this, he's not going to let too much grass grow under his feet, and he always, since I've been here, has not been afraid to self-evaluate. You know, I think that's the sign of a good leader, that when you know where you maybe fall short at in your leadership, and so you go out and you try to get sounding boards and people to bounce things off of, and you're not so stuck in your ways that you can't evolve and change for the better. I like that about him. And now with him being the defensive coordinator, all eyes are going to be on him. You know, he has guys around him that he could delegate some responsibility to. He probably doesn't have to worry about the offense as much as he did when, you know, you had some other coaches back there. Sarkisian was, you know, offense coordinator. You probably don't have to worry about the offense as much. You don't have to look over anybody's shoulder, you know, with Dirk Cotter being in there. But he also is, you know, he gets the last word in everything. So I'm pretty sure that he's going to be involved in the game plan and looking at the play calling to see what they're trying to get into. But having Dirk Cotter there and knowing different game scenarios and things of that nature, I think that takes a lot of pressure on him, for he could just go do the defensive thing.
Yeah, it is really kind of an interesting dynamic. Of all the questions that we have for the Falcons for the season ahead, how does this brand-new coaching staff – I mean, you blew out the entire coaching staff as far as coordinators go, and you bring in guys with resumes that are a mile long. I mean, Mike Malarkey and Dirk Cutter and even Bob Sutton, who was the defensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs and got let go because their defense wasn't very good, but he's going to be kind of an assistant, and he's going to be the clock management guy. For crying out loud, he's, you know, got a resume a lot longer than clock management guy. But that's what you did with his staff, is brought in. I would just guess that it'd be interesting to know, is there a staff in the NFL that has more years of experience in the NFL than the Atlanta Falcons. If they're not number one, Hugh, they're right there at the top.
Yeah, but with that being said, John, what does that exactly mean, and what is that going to translate to? Hopefully it translates into the ultimate, you know, goal, and that's the Super Bowl championship. I mean, because that's the only thing that really matters at the end of the day, you know. And you look at all these changes that were made, and you look at where we're coming from and where we're trying to get back to. When you see things like that as a fan, you're expecting Super Bowls. You're expecting Super Bowls, and that's the pressure that Coach Quinn is under right now. Super Bowl or bust.
Talk a little Falcons ahead of the minicamp. 404-741-0929. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, as always, of course, same number. Just plug it into your phone, and then you can text, and you don't have to worry about that. But don't text and drive. We always say that, right? Of course, you don't want to do that. And you can get a hold of the show, of course, on Twitter at 929TheGame on our Twitter and weigh in that way. Talking about some of the key storylines for the Falcons, the first thing up, of course, is who's going to show. Is it going to be Vic, Julio, Grady? I mean, is everybody, Debo, going to show up? I was, you know, Deion Jones I'm not really overly concerned about. I think Deion Jones is going to be fine. But the other ones, you know, I mean, let's say that somebody doesn't show up, Hugh. Is that a big problem?
You know, as a former player, I don't think so, but it's not a good look. Because we've talked to fans on a regular on this station, 929 Game, and on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, and they've voiced their opinions about this whole training camp thing and how we basically have different sets of rules for different individuals. This one, John, the OTAs, being that they're mandatory, I don't think it, you know, it's not the end of the world, but it's not a good look if somebody doesn't show. And it has to be a really good reason. And I, you know, another thing to know, if they're not there, it's probably for some personal reason, but still, you want to be there. You want to be there because this is when they're doing all the game installs and things of that nature, just trying to get a jump on the season a little bit. So you want to be there.
All right, so question number one is who's going to show up and make sure everybody shows up tomorrow and is as part of the event. Question number two is, and this is something you're not going to be able to glean a whole lot of, but it seems to be the second question out of the box has got to be, how do those two number one picks look? And, again, I don't know how much we could tell Hugh about how they look, those two number one picks on the offensive line.
They're going to be in draws, John. Yeah, you can't see too much from them. They ain't going to be, you know, it ain't going to be a whole lot, man. It ain't going to be nothing where you're going to be like, oh, my gosh, they can actually play. No, you don't learn that until you put pads on and people put hands on you. And then you actually see the speed of the game. It's going to be a while because it's not going to be like it was in college. You're not going to be as dominant as you were in college. You're going to probably be humbled a little bit.
And question number three on my list is, of course, how do the injured players look? How do Keanu, most notably, because we saw Deion Jones came back fine. He played great the last three games. It was one of the reasons the Falcons were able to win their last three was that 45 came back into the middle of that defense. How do Keanu Neal and Rico Allen look? Because that's an important question to this secondary this year.
Yeah, especially Rico. You're talking about when he got hurt. We kind of all knew that when he got hurt that it was going to be a little different back there because he was the quarterback of the team. He's a guy that he's on the field. He's coaching on the field and lining guys up. And you knew that when he got hurt, it was going to be tough for them to get adjusted to some of the things that they were looking at.
And question number four I have is about the other rookies and the second-year guys. And how do the rookies look and how do the second-year guys look in terms of Isaiah Oliver, of Deidrin Sinat? You know, are they ready to step into these full-time starting roles that the Falcons have? And, of course, we want to see guys like Allison and Kaminsky and those kind of guys. George is in Covington. He's on with John and Hugh. George, welcome to the show.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, George.
What's going on, Hugh? Hey, I just wanted to know how you guys feel about Matt Ryan being able to audible and call his own plays. I understand you've got older coaches now that are in the lineup now with the Falcons that are helping the coach with his calls where he can just focus on the defense. But Matt has the years of experience where should he not be allowed to just, hey, this is the play that we should be running?
See, I don't know where that came from, where Matt Ryan's not allowed to audible his plays. Does anybody, Abe, have you ever heard that? I don't know if that's the case. I've never heard that Matt Ryan does not have the ability.
Well, I think we had that issue a little bit under Shanny. I think there was some of that going on. But I think one of the reasons that Dirk Koetter is here, one of the reasons he was hired, is because of the trust factor and the relationship that those two have. I mean,
and you would think with Dirk Koetter, knowing how, you know, Matt has played and how Matt has grown as a quarterback, that shouldn't be an issue.
You would think the very first time that Matt, you know, that there's a play call from the sidelines, right? And then the defense shifts, and Matt does an audible out of that play to something else and throws an interception. You could go to the sideline, and Dirk's going to say, "You didn't see the shift. Why didn't you audible there? They shifted. You've got to go to this
I don't
play."
I don't know. I would think that at this time in Matt Ryan's career that he has the ability to check out of certain plays. I would think so. I'm not sure of that. I don't know what the situation was last year with Sarkisian being the coach, the offensive coordinator, but I would think that he would have that ability.
Yeah, I would think so too. I mean, it's pretty obvious, I think, that Matt Ryan knows what he's doing. He's been in the league 10 years. Ron in College Park's on with John and Hugh. Hey, Ron.
Hey, man. What's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead, Ron.
Okay, one thing I would like to point out, this year as a Falcon fan, I better and would love to see my two first rounds starting this year, because that's what we took him in the first round for. And a lot of things where fans have to realize that this offensive line is going to benefit our defense a lot, because if this offensive line can't extend drives, it just keeps our defense healthy and keeps guys, you know, longer throughout the season.
Hopefully that's the case.
Yes, sir, and another comment I would like to point out is that I am looking forward to seeing what Kendall Sheffield and undrafted rookie Tony Brooks James brings to this team, because this team has a lot of assets and a lot of depth and a lot of weapons this year that we should ride to Miami in February.
Yeah, I certainly have high hopes that this is going to be, I mean, yeah, getting to the Super Bowl would be wonderful. Right now I just want to get to the playoffs. But, yeah, there's always a guy, right? I mean, there's always a guy out there that surprises you. And one of the areas that we didn't touch on necessarily that we're going to have to look at is special teams, because, you know, Ben Cutweek is going to have a tough job trying to find a return guy. It's one of the things the Falcons have really struggled with over the last, well, ever since Dan Quinn showed up, and it's not his fault. I mean, they've tried everybody, including some of the best to ever play the game, to be a return guy. They just have never been able to find a guy that can get the field position. Field position has been an issue for the Falcons for a long time. They've been one of the worst in the NFL in field position.
Yeah, and when you think about it, the year that the Falcons went to the Super Bowl, that was one of the things that it wasn't great, but with the offense being as dynamic as it was, it helped. It helped, but this offense was so prolific that they could go the length of the field wherever you put them at. Mm-hmm. But now, you know, when you talk about keys to the game and different field position and everything, that's a tremendous help if you can get that going.
Yeah, there's no question that throughout, and less in mini camp and less in training camp and more into the preseason games, because that's one of the good things about having five preseason games this year is that you can get a long look at some of these guys that are auditioning for certain positions. And one of the positions, maybe the most auditioned position, will be returner. I mean, you're going to have a lot of guys back there that could possibly return. So a lot of different guys that could possibly return for this team in terms of, you know, will it be a Kenyon Barner? Will it be, you know, somebody else, one of the new guys, Sheffield? Or you know, could it be somebody that was already on the team like Hardy? But we've seen Justin Hardy, so... and I'm not saying just to get step his game up. I'm saying that, you know, it's going to be interesting to see who finally wins that spot.
Field position is going to be the key, John Freaky. That's the bottom line. You know, this is something that, you know, when you look at last year's team, was not helping. It was not helping us out at all. So, yeah, that's going to be something that if you get a leg up on field position, that'd be great. Captain Obvious over here.
Yeah. We're talking about the Falcons. Some of the key storylines headed to minicamp tomorrow. What do you want to see out of the team? What's your focal point for this club as they get ready for the first big mandatory camp of the year, 53-54 days out from their first football game? It's on Monday morning with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the Game and 92onthegame.com. Ah, the sounds of the National Football League. 52 days away from when the Falcons will take the field for the first time on August the 1st against the Denver Broncos in the Hall of Fame game and minicamps for NFL teams breaking this week all over the league. And we'll get our storylines and certain things, like, for example, Cam Newton in Carolina, where they're saying he could throw this week for the Carolina Panthers and that he's ahead of schedule on his rehab.
Yeah, but what does that actually mean for the season? Because remember, last year he was kind of ahead of schedule on a rehab. I mean, he kind of struggled a little bit. I mean, I think you're talking about, when you talk about Cam Newton and the fact that he had surgery on his throwing arm, you want to try to take your time with that. So it's going to be interesting to see how he's handled moving forward. Because, you know, there was some talk, John, whether or not he was going to even play this season. And I know that he's probably being the competitor that he is, that he wants to play. But I think you have to think long term in order to have success here. Because you don't want to get off into another situation where, you know, you re-injure yourself and then you have to go back and have another surgery. And then you set yourself back even further. So I think that's what you're talking about when you talk about quarterback for the Carolina Panthers.
Well, Norv Turner is the offensive coordinator of the Panthers, and he told Sports Illustrated that Cam's been throwing for about a month, and so he's going to be throwing a minicamp. Now, it doesn't really matter for us because we won't see Cam because of the nature of the schedule here. The first time that the Falcons will face Cam Newton won't be till November 17th. I mean, the 10th game of the year. I mean, it's just weird. This schedule this year is so unusual. So they won't see him till, you know, November, so the week before Thanksgiving. So they got a long time before they see Cam Newton. On the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, Hugh, we were talking about the Falcons, and here we go with this one here. There you all, talking about us, there you all go with the negativity. Who's not going to be there, shaking my head? We're not being negative. We're just talking about, look, hold out. I mean, guys, hold out. Yeah, that happens. We're not being negative. We're just talking about, are we being negative?
I can see where it can be perceived that way. I mean, because we're talking about it. But this is our job.
Right.
And this is what we're supposed to do. I mean, you know, it's the nature of the beast, especially when you're in the news business.
Well, I think we'd be negative, and I'm not trying to be defensive about this. I'm just trying to make sure that we weren't. I mean, to me, negative would be, if Vic doesn't show up, then that's it. You know, the defense is going to suck, and then, oh, you know, I mean, but I mean.
Well, look at it like this, and I kind of feel him, what he's saying, but you got to understand, though, Vic, you come in, and a lot of people are expecting you to be a certain way or expecting you to do your job because you got paid a ton of money. And when you're not there, it's not a good look. Now, I understand that, you know, in your defense, you might say, well, Julio isn't there. Well, Julio didn't have the same kind of season that you had. And Julio's not – you and Julio are two different caliber of talent right now, as of right now. And when you talk about new defensive line coach, fairly – I mean, some you know him, but new defensive coordinator. And I'm pretty sure that – the conversation went something like this when you're talking to Coach Quinn. Hey, man, we'd love to have you there. We're putting in some new stuff. We're installing this. No pressure, but it would be a good look because then, you know, when you come to camp and you show up, whether it's right or wrong, it's looked at like you are a full participant and you want to get better. Now, I know you have your guy that you're working with, and that's fine too, but it hasn't, for whatever reason, you haven't put up the numbers that you needed to put up to warrant you working with your guy, if that makes sense. You haven't done anything to this point to make anybody feel comfortable. It's not like anybody's getting on you, but I guarantee you that if it becomes a situation where you get off to a slow start or you don't play as well, working out with your guy, that's going to be something that's going to be talked about a lot.
Oh, a lot.
It's going to be talked about a lot. So it's not so much as Hayden. It's something like this is a part. This is the nature of the beast. When you make that kind of money and you get that you know, that contract extension or you get that tender, then this is what people are going to talk about. Whether it's fair or not, that is all fair game. It that's just the way it works.
404-741-0929. We're talking about the Falcons ahead of mandatory minicamp tomorrow. Scott and Woodstock's on with John and you. Hey, Scott.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Yeah, man.
So, when I was talking, listening to you guys, my main thing is, like, injuries. Because I know last year they suffered a lot of injuries, like, during the season and everything. So I think their key thing is to worry about injuries and everything. And I'm actually going to one of the preseason games against, I think it's, it's the Jets, I think, on the 15th of August, if I'm correct.
Yes.
So I would just love to see, you know, the camps go well, no one gets injured into the preseason, and make sure no one else gets hurt, and make sure they're ready for the regular season.
Right. No, I mean, and we can't presume injuries at all. I mean, that's the, you know, the bugaboo about, yeah, everybody's going to suffer, you know, injuries to some degree. we can't presume them. We saw what happened last year with this team. We're not using excuses. We're just saying that it was a fact of life with this team last year because you saw the difference when, like, for example, Deion Jones got back and the difference that it makes. You cannot lose what you lost last year and cover that too well. So, again, you know, and not presuming injuries, this team looks like it has that's why it's not really one of my questions, Hugh. You know, can you stay healthy? You have to presume they are. You have to kind of bank on that.
Yeah. I mean, because at the end of the season, you got to think about it like this. Everybody's a little banged up. It's how functional you are that really makes the big difference. You know, you look at the NBA Finals right now and the fact that, you know, everybody's talking about how Golden State and the injuries that they have, everybody is dealing with something when you've been playing a long time. Mm-hmm. You just got to fight through that.
We're talking about some of the big storylines that Falcons minicamp coming up Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We'll be out there with reporters. We'll be bringing you the full story about what we see, what we hear from Falcons mandatory minicamp. And this is all going to ramp up real fast, as we said, because of the fact that you have so many things. I know we have full phone lines here. Let's get to Marcia in Jonesboro. Hey, Marcia.
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
Good morning.
Hey, you and John. Listen, I don't want to be negative either, but if Vic Beasley doesn't show up, he's already in a minus with me. I mean, he has more to prove than a rookie. And I love Vic, but I think that 1 year when he had 15 sacks was an anomaly. I think he's good, but I think he needs to show us a lot this year. He's playing on borrowed time.
Yeah, well, I'm gone. Appreciate it, Marshall. You know, he's playing on proven time. I mean, they pick up his contract, and Dan Quinn immediately says he's either going to love me or hate me because of what I'm going to put him through this year. And then when he doesn't show up, there's no question. Coach Quinn, look, during the OTAs, Coach Quinn twice went in front of the microphones and said something about Vic not being there. Now, he was Dan Quinn nice about it, at least in public, which means he was probably saying some stronger things behind the scenes, I would hope. But he was basically kind of calling him out, saying, where the heck are you? I mean, you know, you're supposed to be here. We took a huge risk in bringing you back and paying you all this money, what, to $12.8 million or whatever it is?
Yeah.
And we're putting a lot of faith in you. You got to return that faith to us, and I've got to work directly with you. It should be noted in the 15.5 sack season that Dan Quinn did take over as defense coordinator. That was a Super Bowl year.
Mm-hmm.
And so Dan Quinn's plan for Vic Beasley, Dan Quinn thinks in his mind, Hugh, he can make Vic Beasley into at least a double-digit sack guy.
That's the hope. That's the hope. And, you know, I'm not one that's going to get down on Vic because he didn't come to OTA. That's not what I'm doing. I think it would have probably been an easier transition for him mm-hmm. if he would have been there. There's no question about that because it gets us talking about it in the media. And it's something that, you know, when you think about it, as a former defender, if I'm going into a situation where I'm extending an olive branch, if you will, John, because I got a new defensive coordinator. I got a new defensive line coach. I just want to show my face so that stuff like this won't happen.
Mm-hmm.
This becomes a non-story if I just show. Now, I understand that Vic probably has some previous engagement that he had already scheduled. I mean, you know, sometimes
yeah,
that happens.
You know, I know, but if you're going to put together a charity basketball tournament, mm-hmm. or you're going to go to a charity car wash, A, you can do the charity car wash on your own time outside of the OTAs.
No, I get that. I get that. And I get that. I'm telling you how
you could have scheduled better.
He probably could have scheduled better. No, I'm not arguing that. But what I'm saying is this: he made these commitments. He's doing that. But now the pressure is going to be on you to go out there and perform. Like, hit the ground running. Like, you know, he comes to training camp. He picks up everything. Coach Quinn speaks highly of him. No harm, no foul.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's going to remember this.
Right.
But if it becomes a situation where 3 games into the season, I'd even say 2 games into the season, if Vic is non-existent on the stat sheet, like, because, you know, in order to get on the stat sheet, you got to make a play. If Vic is non-existent on the stat sheet, then that's going to be a problem. That's going to be a problem for a lot of people. Now, it's not going to be the end of the world because, you know, you can always bounce back and, you know, those 2 games are a mulligan and you can have a great season. But the more that you do not show up on the stat sheet, especially in that sack category,
mm-hmm.
the more you're going to bring and the more people are going to bring back up the fact that you didn't come to OTAs.
Right.
That's going to be an issue, you know. And I would think that with everything that's been said about you in the past, you can't be mad about what's being said about you now because this is the decision that you made. When you made the decision not to come to OTAs, you kind of opened yourself up for this. I mean, that's a fact. That's cause and effect.
You know, to the offensive line, which they spent so much time and money on, in bringing in, you know, four new guys this year, two big name free agents and two top first round draft picks. We talk about those two guys in McGarry and Lindstrom and whether or not they could start and be effective as rookies. I'm less concerned about those two guys individually or together than I am about Brown, Carpenter, Lindstrom, and McGarry. Of those four, two have got to work, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because three of them are going to be starting.
Mm-hmm.
Three of the four are going to be starting. Brown's penciled in right now as being the left guard, and then you have McGarry and Winston penciled in as right guard and right tackle. Or Lindstrom at guard and McGarry at tackle, with Carpenter being a backup and Sembrello being in the mix there. But whatever it is that they go to you, that offensive line as a unit has got to work.
Yeah, and I think most of their bread and butter is going to be the run game. I just have that feeling. And if you can establish that early, then that takes a lot of pressure off of these young men as far as the pass protection is concerned. But you got to be able to run the ball. And I think that's going to be a heavy emphasis going into this training camp. Is running the ball, establishing the line of scrimmage, and basically just mauling folks up front.
Well, in these first five games, again, for what you can tell and what you can glean out of preseason football, to me, the almost I'll just set you up here. Five preseason games. We're going to be spending those five preseason games grading and talking about that offensive line, because that's going to be the key area of this team. To some degree, the defensive line, but that offensive line has got to be like it was in 2016. It's got to be really good. And that's where all the emphasis went in the offseason, so let's see if they fixed it or not. Because if they didn't, we all know what the answer is. If they did, we all know what the answer could be. NBA Game 5 is tonight. Is Kevin Durant a problem now for the Golden State Warriors? It's an interesting question. We'll ask it next as we continue on the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And 92andthegame.com.
The game plan changes if Kevin's out there or if he's not. So you adapt accordingly.
We'll be able to adjust and transition pretty smoothly. He's been in, you know, plenty of finals and has played well. And no matter what percentage he's at, I'm sure he'll be impactful and effective out there. But again, for myself or anybody, you know, in our rotation who's been playing a lot of minutes, we just have to be aggressive and smart and, you know, competitive, especially on the defensive end. And the rest should take care of itself.
That's Steph Curry talking about Kevin Durant and whether or not he will be able to go in Game 5. Coming up tonight, and it's questionable. That's the latest word we heard, even though he was cleared to practice here, and whether Kevin Durant's going to ride in on a white horse and save the season for the Golden State Warriors.
I mean, he's weighing a lot of options right now, John. You know, and I think the biggest one for him is re-injuring it. And, you know, reality of whether or not, I mean, he could come in and help save it. You know, I think that would be a great storyline. But I got a feeling KD is not really built like that. That's not what he really is concerned about. You know, I think he's concerned about his future. And I can't be mad at him for that. You know, when you look at the landscape of the Golden State Warriors, I mean, they fought hard the other night. And, you know, I gave him props for that. But look at what they're going up against and the fact that he hasn't played, like we said, in a month. How much is he really going to give you? How much is that really going to be, you know, How much does he have? Don't know. And, you know, we would love to see that. But I honestly think that he's sitting contemplating whether or not, number one, he's going to play for Golden State next year or if he's going to try to go somewhere else and get some more money. You know, he's at this point, he's a hired gun. And I cannot be mad at him for looking out for his long-term goals as opposed to being with a team or trying to win a championship with a team where he's not going to be there. He's won, too. Mm-hmm. So it's like for him – He's already cemented his legacy. So I don't know. That's a tough one. That one is only KD can answer that question now. He's the only one that can answer that.
You know, it bugs me to some no end that people have used this asterisk thing that, well, if Toronto wins the finals tonight or if they win the finals at all, there's going to be this kind of asterisk that Kevin Durant didn't play in the NBA finals. And I just think that that's absolutely so wrong on 100 levels. I mean, because I just don't think it's – Look, this is, again, a Golden State team that won titles without Kevin Durant. You know, it's still Steph Curry's team.
Yeah, I mean, but you look at what he could bring to the table, and you look at the way that they played the other night. To have him out there, that would have been a tremendous help, especially in that fourth quarter.
Oh, yeah, of course.
It would have been a tremendous help.
Of course it would have been.
I think the biggest thing that you're looking at when you look at this Golden State Warriors team is the fact that, and Travis Link talked about it, they're decimated. Injuries have caught up with them, and it's probably even safe to say if KD did play, the outcome would probably be the same. He'll probably stave it off for a game, but I think the outcome is ultimately going to be that the Toronto Raptors get their first championship.
And when Travis Schlenk picked the Raptors before the series, he didn't pick the Raptors saying, you know, that, you know, he was unbeknownst to him that they were going to lose Looney and that they were going to have Klay Thompson be out for, you know, a period of time and be ineffective. He was picking them as he understood the teams to be at the moment.
Yeah, he was picking them by the fact that, and he said this, he gave reasons why. He said because their bench is not as deep as it has been in the past. And he was the only one to say that. I heard that a few times from a few different fans on the Twitter feed. Shout out to the Twitter fans. And that has been what caught up with the Golden State Warriors right now is the fact that they're not getting that production off the bench. And they have to play a little bit harder than they had played in the past. We were talking about the other night. The only reason they were in the game the night before they took that L was the fact that Klay Thompson was out there playing well, and then he got hurt, and then he didn't play. So it's been that kind of series for them. You need all hands on deck, and you need guys as functional as you could possibly have them at this time in the season. And, you know, Klay came out there and played, and they put up a valiant effort, but it wasn't enough. And so now you're looking at KD, and there's been reports, like you said, whether or not he was going to play. I think at this point, if KD's been cleared to play, it's on him. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if he's that guy that's built like that. I just don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I think if he's been cleared to play and he doesn't play, I think it's pretty evident he's not going to be on the team next year, in my opinion, anyway. I think he's, you know, headed off to Brooklyn and to the Nets, or he's headed off to the Knicks. Or he's not going to be in Golden State. I think he's going to try and build his own team and go from there. I don't care who wins, so I'm ready for it to be over. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not to me. Toronto wins, great. If Golden State comes back and wins in Game 7, great. I mean, I don't care. I want to focus in on what's going to happen 10 days from now.
So. You're talking about the NBA draft.
Right.
As far as that's – yeah, I get that. But, you know, and I know for – I think in free agency and in the draft, I think the biggest thing for the Hawks is going to be, rightfully so, is the draft and what moves that they make. Mm-hmm. You know, when they accumulated all these assets to potentially package and you know, move up in the draft. I don't think free agency is going to be a big deal for them this year. I really don't. I think that there might be some minor moves made, but I don't think that, you know, we're going to make a move to get that a big name free agent, because I think we're putting ourselves in position now is to get money off the books, you know, for next year. I think next year will probably be the year that there's going to be a big move made for a free agent, if there's one out there that potentially fits.
Well, that's true. I mean, I guess it's who's available. And I think of it in these terms, Hugh. I think you have to say, well, if you have an opportunity, and we'll just use Klay Thompson as an example. He's not going to be a supermax guy. And if you have an opportunity to get him now, you can't let somebody else get him. I mean, that's the case.
But I think that, you know, right now we want to acquire assets and try to make this place even more a more attractive place to play next year. Now, to your point, if there's an opportunity that presents itself, and if there's a chance that we can get Klay Thompson here, or there's some interest, I mean, I think you try to do that, but I don't know if that's going to be the case. Klay might be a guy that wants to stay and go to state.
He may. No, he I'm not. Right. No, I mean, I at least explore the opportunity. And yeah. Even Travis Schlenk even said that to us. He said, look, you know, basically, I'll paraphrase Travis, we're not going to turn down an opportunity if we're presented an opportunity.
And I think I look at it like this too, John. You look at the desire in which Klay Thompson wanted to play the game that he didn't play. You know, there were cuts of him on the sideline chopping at the bit, wishing he could play, wishing he was back out there. That's what I read from it. And for him to go out there and put forth the effort that he did, to me that screams of a guy that wants to stay where he is. He's comfortable in the position that he's in.
And he may well be.
Yeah. Kevin Durant, on the other hand, I don't know if I feel that same kind of fire coming off of him.
I'd be surprised if Kevin Durant's at Golden State next year. I'd be surprised
about
that.
Yeah, I think he'll be surprised too. I think this is, like I said, John, he's going to get some money. He's going to get paid. And I think for him, that's what it's about. He's about to get paid. And like I said, can't be mad at him for that. Cannot be mad at him for going out and trying to maximize his talent as much as he possibly can.
And now it seems like a lot of chatter that Brooklyn might actually be in the lead, and the Brooklyn Nets might be kind of reworking their situation to become the team instead of the Knicks.
Who was that? The guy when they traded Crabb, they put themselves in position. I think they got like $46 million.
Yeah, you can get two max players.
They get two max guys. So, yeah. And the guys that they're looking probably at is Kawhi. No, yeah, Kawhi. Is it Kawhi
no,
and
no,
Kyrie?
No, Kyrie and Katie. Kevin.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry. Kyrie and Katie.
And one of the more interesting questions in the offseason is if Toronto wins tonight, could they actually convince Kawhi Leonard to stay in Toronto?
Probably not. He's so detached from that right now. He's ready to go.
He had a good laugh at that. But he wants to win a title. He'll be forever a hero in the entire, well, I was going to say the entire country of Canada, but the entire country of Canada that isn't include Quebec. You just have to understand Canada to get that. All right. Braves, get ready for the Pirates. What are we expecting tonight? Dallas Keuchel slated to pitch. All that ahead on the headlines that are rocking our world in the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 99 The Game and 99thegame.com.
We afforded the routine to have a few days, although I would like to pitch and get the blood pumping a little bit, get some competitive juices flowing.
Your game time traffic.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.